speak to us now, O Lord, we pray. Speak to our souls today. For this is why we've come, dear Lord. We're ready for your word. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Heaven and earth will pass, but God, your word will forever last. We come now ready for your word. Father, we pray that all that we do and all that we say will be pleasing in your sight, will bring glory and honor to you, that you will be glorified, that your people will be edified, that the devil will be terrified and horrified as the life-changing, life-giving word of God goes forth. Have your way now. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I try to be an observer of life. And one of the things that I have observed over the years is that the moment people start celebrating something, there's always somebody on the other side who starts criticizing. When a door opens for someone, there's always somebody else who thinks that door should have stayed shut. When your joy is restored, there's always somebody who seems to feel the obligation to try to rob you of your joy. A few people will celebrate with you, but many more people seem to be ready and poised to criticize you, resent you, and even grow bitter towards what you have done or what you have accomplished. Great accomplishment was made this past week. Those of you who are basketball fans, Bam Adebayo plays for the Miami Heat, and he scored 83 points just this past week in a regular season game. He played 42 minutes, shot 20 of 43 from the field, 36 of 43 from the free throw line, and it's the second highest total of points scored by an individual in NBA history. The mark, the historical mark, was set in March of 1962 by Wilt Chamberlain. He scored 100 points on a night in Hershey, Pennsylvania. Kobe Bryant, some 20 years ago, scored 81 points against the Toronto Raptors. So here comes Bam Adebayo. Now, Bam is not known as a superstar in the game. He's a really good player. He's played on Olympic teams before and international teams. So nobody expected this outburst from Bam. Bam scores 83 points, 31 points in the first quarter, 12 points in the second quarter, which means he had 43 points at halftime, 19 points in the third quarter, 21 points in the fourth quarter, which means he had 43 points in the first half, 40 points in the second half, for a total of 83 points. But despite that tremendous accomplishment, there were people who were criticizing. There were people who were hating. Now, I know there were some who were hating because they are Kobe Bryant fans. And they felt like the game was cheapened because they said, you know, at the end of the game, they were fouling Bam and letting him go to the free throw line, and they really wasn't playing that much defense, like they play defense in the NBA anyway. But here's the point. An accomplishment of that height, of that order, you would think would just be applauded. But man, critics came out of the woodworks. It was so bad that Eric Spoelstra, the coach of the Miami Heat, when he saw the criticisms of Bam, he saw the criticisms of the Washington Wizards, the basketball team that the Miami Heat was playing, when they started criticizing the Miami Heat, when they started criticizing him, he had a press conference. Here's what he said. I apologize to no one. Oh, I loved it. It was a pregnant pause in there. And I'm sitting there thinking, man, who is he going to apologize to? And he said, to no one. See, here's the simple truth that all of us need to learn in life. Everybody's not going to be happy when you're happy. Everybody's not going to celebrate your blessings. And this is especially true if they think what you have accomplished is at the expense of somebody else. Now, I know what somebody's thinking. Pastor, what does this have to do with our message today? Well, there's a man in our story by the name of David. David has a wife by the name of Michael. And Michael has become for us over the last several weeks the poster child of bitterness. The Bible says her bitterness was so pervasive. Her bitterness was so antagonistic. Her bitterness was so out of line with God's will for her life that the Bible says as a result of her bitterness, she remained childless the rest of her life. But I want to flip the coin over today as we finish this story. Because as bitter as Michael was, David had a choice. David had to choose how he was going to respond to this bitter woman who was his wife. He had to decide, was he going to go down with her? Was he going to go low with her? Was he going to be combative with her? Or in essence, would he make a decision to let her have a fight all by herself? Today, for a few moments, I want to talk to you from the thought how to realize you're too blessed to be bitter. How to realize you're too blessed to be bitter. If you are blessed long enough, if you walk with God long enough, if you experience God's favor long enough, sooner or later, somebody will become bitter. Somebody will become a hater in your life. And sometimes they're just hating just for the sake of hating. Sometimes they won't call it bitterness because they claim that they are checking you. It's almost as if they feel it's their responsibility to make sure you don't get the big heads. So they may say something like, well, you know, you seem a little arrogant now. You seem a little prideful. Seems like you're changing. And like the old folk used to say, you've gotten too big for your britches. You're smelling yourself. Yeah, so they feel like it's their responsibility to pop your balloon, to make sure you stay level-headed, you keep your feet on the ground. And in our text today, we have a man who has been blessed by God and now has to make a decision. Will he respond to the bitterness of his wife, or will he reflect and rest in God's blessings for his life? Four things I want you to see today. If you have your outlines, would you say amen? If you need an outline, raise your hand and the ushers will get one to you. For those of you who are watching, you can download our church app wherever you get your apps and find a fill-in-the-blank outline there for your tablet or smartphone device, or you can go to goodhope.org and find an outline there. First thing I want you to see, if you're going to realize you're too blessed to be bitter, you must remember how the Lord has blessed you in your past. You must remember how the Lord has blessed you in your past. David, when he responds to Michael, goes back beyond the immediate past, and he goes back to his historical past. David, you remember, has been now challenged, and he brings the Ark of God back into the capital of Israel, Jerusalem. He reestablishes Jerusalem as the center of Israel. And the Bible says that Michael is watching from a window when he comes in giving God praise. You remember the Ark of God had been captured in battle at the Battle of Aphek, and it had been resting in Abinadab's house. And now David, who was made the king of Israel in 2 Samuel chapter 5, in 2 Samuel chapter 6 says, let's go get the Ark. You remember the story, right? He goes as a warring king with 30,000 troops to retrieve the Ark. He has good intentions, but he doesn't follow God's instructions. And the Bible says Uzzah dies. He gets afraid. He gets angry. He leaves the Ark at Obed-Edom's house. He finds out that the problem was not in the Ark. it was in him. This time he goes back to Obed-Edom's house after hearing how Obed-Edom and his house were blessed for 90 days. He goes back now, but he doesn't take soldiers, he takes Levites. He doesn't go for war, he goes for worship. And the Bible says he follows now God's instructions. And he's bringing the ark of God. You remember the on the way praise that David gave after six steps of carrying the ark when they were really affirmed in the fact that the problem wasn't with the ark, it was how they were carrying the ark. That the Bible says they stopped and offered a worship and a celebration to God, a sacrifice to God. Here they come now. They come in and they're worshiping God. And look at what the text says. Verse 20, when David returned home to bless his family, Michal came out to meet him and said in disgust, "How glorious the king of Israel looked today. He exposed himself to the servant girls like any indecent person might do." David retorted to Michal. I love that word, retort. You know what I mean? That's like, oh, no, let me come back at you, like, for real. He says to Michal, "I was dancing before the Lord, who chose me above your father and his family. He appointed me as the leader of Israel, the people of the Lord. So I am willing to act like a fool in order to show my joy in the Lord." Now watch what David says. He chose me above your father and his family. Now, wait a minute, hold on. This is your wife. And it's almost as if David says, now you better check whose side you on. Because I was chosen above your daddy and his family, of which you were a part. You better remember whose name you carry it. He says, because now you are married to a king. Before you were the daughter of a king, now you married to a king, but God chose me above your father and his family. Now somebody may ask the question, wait a minute, what is David talking about? David is reminding her that God had blessed David long before he got on the throne. That God's hand was on David and he took care of David when David was taking care of his father's flock in 1 Samuel chapter 17, when Goliath is out there issuing a challenge to the people of God and he's talking crazy to the armies of Israel, and David comes up. Now, David had already been anointed the king, but he had not been appointed yet. And let me just throw that in for somebody who may be a little uneasy about where you are in life. Anointing many times will precede appointing. And there is typically a time lapse between the time you are anointed and the time you are appointed. David, it was about 12 years between the time he was anointed king by the prophet Samuel and the time of his appointment. Joseph had a vision and he saw himself raised up and he saw his brothers all bowing down. It was about 13 years between the time that he had the vision and the time the vision became a reality. So here's David. He walks up to the front line, and he's like, who is this uncircumcised Philistine out here throwing all these insults at my God? And you remember, Saul says, well, who are you, you little whippersnapper? Where you come from? What gives you the right to think that you could even stand here and talking about you gonna take him on? And David starts recounting. He says, man, when I was taking care of my father's flock and the lions and bears came, I'm the one that protected the flock. And if they grabbed one of them, I went and hit them and had to kill them sometimes to get the flock back. He ain't nothing but another lion and bear. God has already shown me what I can do with God on my side. The Bible says that Saul saw fitting David with his armor. I got some Bible readers in here. You remember the story. He starts putting on Saul's breastplate and gives Saul gives him his sword. And David's like, man, this stuff don't fit me. I can't go into battle wearing your stuff. And I'm going to talk a little bit in the next couple of weeks, because here's what we understand. David was successful, not just because God was with him, but he fought in the way that he could fight. He didn't try to fight in the way that Saul could fight, because he recognized that Saul's armor didn't fit him. And the anointing that was on his life had already left Saul. Saul just didn't know it. Ooh, what a sad thing when the anointing of God leaves your life and you're not even aware of it. We'll save that for another message. So here comes David. David says, man, when I was taking care of the flock. Not only that, he's like, Michael, you don't remember when I took Goliath down and cut his head off? You don't remember when your father laid out the dowry for you to be my wife? And he said, bring me 100 Philistine foreskins, and I came back with 200. You don't remember when he thought his order would result in my death, and I came back overachieved and claimed you as my wife? David says, you don't remember when your father tried to have me killed on multiple occasions, and over again, even though he was envious of me and plotted and planned my downfall? You don't remember all the times that God delivered me? And now here I am bringing the ark into Jerusalem, and you have the nerve, you have the unmitigated gall to actually suggest that I'm giving God too much praise? Listen, how can you focus on God's blessings in your life when you're face to face with a bitter person? How can you focus on God when somebody's trying to get you to focus on them? See, one of the mistakes we make is we allow what people are taking us through today to cause us to forget what God has brought us through in our yesterdays. And David didn't just go back and said, you remember Obed-Edom's house. You remember the six steps and we worship God. You don't remember worshiping on him on the way. He said, no, let's go back before I even knew you. God had his hand on my life. I see the evidence. And what you're seeing today is just the outcome of what God has been doing in my yesterdays. Listen to me carefully. You cannot see what people do wrong to you and miss what God has been doing right for you. You've got to learn how to focus on how far God has brought you. Many of us, we get frustrated, we get discouraged when somebody comes at us, and that's because we are living with short-term memory. We forgot that God is the one that brought us where we are. And we forgot that God is not through with us yet. Don't allow the negativity of others to define who you are, determine how you feel, or dictate what you do. You got to learn how to rest on God's track record in your life. Imagine. This always gets me. You know, when you go to a graduation, and I love at certain schools in particular. And now, save your applause until everyone has received their degrees. Thank you so much. And I want to stand up so bad and say, how dare you? You don't know what it took for this brother or this sister to walk across the stage. You don't know the long nights. You don't know the struggles. You don't know the sacrifices. How dare you want me to temper my enthusiasm because of your pious protocols? I'm like, man, you better shout. You better holler. You better scream. You better let somebody know, look where the Lord has brought me from. Because here's the problem in that setting. they only see the moment of celebration. They don't see the misery in the preparation to get to the celebration. I'm trying to help somebody in here today. See, if God has been good to you before, if God has brought you through storms before, if God has opened doors for you before, and God did it before, he can do it again. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12. Samuel then took a large stone and placed it between the towns of Mizpah and Jeshanah. He called it Ebenezer, which means the stone of help. For he said, up to this point, the Lord has helped us. Look at Psalm 103, verse 2. Let's read it together. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. See, when somebody comes at you the wrong way, what they are attempting to do is get you to forget what God has done and focus on what they're doing. And I'm telling you, don't give them the satisfaction of thinking they can control you, rob your joy, or dim your shine. Remembering what God did yesterday is not enough, because God is not only working in your past, God is working in your present. Let's get through the second point. Number two, you must realize how the Lord is blessing you right now. Everybody say right now. How the Lord is blessing you right now. Man, when folk come at you and they come at you crazy, listen, think about how far God brought you, but don't just think about your yesterday. Recognize what God is doing in your today right now. Text says, verse 12, then King David was told the Lord had blessed Obed-Edom's home and everything he has because of the ark of God. So David went there and brought the ark to the city of David with a great celebration. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 16, but as the ark entered the city of David, what agitated Michael's bitterness wasn't what God had done in the past. It may have been a fuel for it, but her agitation was because of what God was doing right now. God was blessing right now. David is giving God praise right now. Ark is coming into the city right now. David blesses the Lord right now. David blesses the people right now. David is about to bless his home right now. And here comes Michael. See, if nothing else, David could thank God just for another chance. You remember he got it wrong. When he went to get the ark the first time, I told you he went with intentions. He didn't follow God's instructions. He went for warfare. He didn't go for worship. He took the soldiers. He didn't take the Levites. And David recognized, man, God gave him another chance. God gave him another chance. And someone in here today, you need to get excited, because where you are right now is the result of God giving you another chance. Now you can pretend and perpetrate that you've always been where you are and you deserve the blessings of God in your life. But for folk who know you, like for real, who know not just the public persona, but the private pain, and the struggles, they know not just your actions, but your attitudes. They know your thoughts. God gave you another chance. I'm not going to say he gave you a second chance, because some of you are on the 25th chance by now. You blew right through that second chance. Third chance. Oh, man, look, stop counting. But God, by his grace, has given you another chance. And David says, man, I recognize that I'm being blessed right now. Sometimes people do not realize they are blessed because they're looking for bigger blessings. Somebody right now, you're listening, you're looking, you're watching. You can't celebrate where you are because you worry so much about where you want to be. You haven't learned how to do what David did and give some on the way praise. David didn't wait till he got to Jerusalem to give a sacrifice. He gave a sacrifice because he was making progress to the place that God ultimately wanted him to be. Somebody in here, under the sound of my voice, you got to learn how to rejoice on the way. You got to learn how to celebrate on the way. You don't just wait till you get there. And I'm not saying when you see a sign, get out at the sign like you've arrived, but you ought to find some encouragement. See, blessings are not just what you get. Blessings are the life blessings that God has blessed you with. If he woke you up this morning, that's a blessing. If you still have breath in your lungs, that's a blessing. If God is still working in your life, you are already blessed. So you don't have to wait for a future miracle to give God praise. You've already experienced enough miracles for you to give God praise. Look at Lamentations 3, beginning at verse 22. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. James chapter 1, verse 17, the New Living Translation. Let's read it together. Whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God, our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. You must remember how the Lord has blessed you in your past. You must realize how the Lord is blessing you right now. And I'm going to stop right there. Should I stop? Y'all good? Okay, I didn't want to lose anybody. Want nobody to fall asleep, fall out, and die or something, you know. Y'all good? Okay, here's the third thing. I'm going to keep on rolling then. Somebody say, keep on.
Keep on.
All right, number three, you must respond properly to the Lord's blessings in your life. You got to respond properly. You have to remember the Lord has blessed you. You got to realize how the Lord has blessed you, but you got to respond properly. The Bible says there's a consistency in David's life. From the time he goes back to get the ark at Obed-Edom's house to the time that he gets set up in Jerusalem, David is blessing the Lord. David is worshiping God. Hear me carefully. David is not limiting the worship of God to the Sabbath day. David does not say, I'm going to wait until the Sabbath day to give God some glory. No, David understands that worship is not an event that's restricted to a day. It's a lifestyle that should permeate everything he does and everything that he says. So David, every moment, every day, is giving God praise. Whether it was after six steps or coming into Jerusalem or putting the ark in place or blessing the people on his way to bless his home, David is a worshiper. Can I tell you something? I believe that's why God calls David a man after his own heart. It's not because David was sinless, because we know he wasn't sinless. It's not because David didn't make mistakes, because David made a whole lot of mistakes. But David was a worshiper. His heart was in tune with God. So David said, I'm not going to wait until I get to Jerusalem. I'm not going to wait until I get where I want to end up to bless God. David said, I'm going to bless him on the way. I'm going to bless him in the way. I'm going to bless him when I get to the way. I'm going to bless God every step of the way. Text says he danced He gave some exuberant worship. Now, it's always interesting to me how when we come to church, y'all. We come to church and so many of y'all come in and it's like we've been handing out shots in the narthex. Formaldehyde shots. It's like y'all been drinking formaldehyde and you come in like, I'm dead. I'm like, no joy. No happiness. No expressions. No festivity. Nothing. You just, It's almost as if you come in and you say, look at the choir like, move me. I bet you can't move me today. Go on, pastor, preach. Oh, man, preach till you fall out. Go on, holler, scream, I bet you can't move me today. See, I'm not demonstrative like that. I'm very reserved. And that's only when you choose to be. Because there's other times you choose not to be. Like when your favorite team is playing and they hit that buzzer beater and you at home watching on television and stand up and start hollering like somebody can hear you. You talking to the screen. Man, pass the ball. Man, pass the ball. Run, run. Like the person can hear you. But when it comes to giving God praise, oh, no, we're not going to do that because I know I'm too dignified. I'm too educated. I'm too sophisticated. I don't act like that. So here's David, man. He's got position. He's the king. He's got power. He got respectability. He got all of that. He got all of that. And David sends a powerful message to the entire nation. He says, if the king is going to give God glory, you better give God glory too. Let me say this. Fathers, it's hard to expect your children to give glory when they don't see you giving God glory. Your children won't pray when they don't see you pray, when they don't hear you pray. You see your children praying with their children when they know that you prayed with them when they were children. Right? You got to set a tone for what this looks like. And I told you when David danced, the Bible says he danced and he danced so there are those who will mistakenly take that text and say, you ought to dance out of your clothes the way David did. He didn't dance out of his clothes. He didn't dance his clothes off. He danced his clothes open. Because the text says he was dancing, he was carouring, he was whirling and spinning in gratitude. I know some of you are reserved. I don't know what your family would do if you ever started thanking God the way God deserves. Man, they might call the mental health unit on you. They'd be like, man, this man has gone crazy. This woman done lost her mind. What are they doing? Are they doing harm to themselves? No, they just running around here praising God. Are they threatening somebody? No, they just praising God. Michael had a problem with how she saw the king dancing. And I love what David says, because David basically says, I wasn't dancing for you. Why are you concerned about what I was doing and I wasn't doing it for your approval? Listen, let me ask you a question. Do you temper your worship because the Lord doesn't require it or because you're more concerned about how people around you will perceive it? Like, is there ever a time when God has to stick a spiritual pin in you just to get it out? Woo! Just something. See, when you've seen someone celebrate a championship, they shout, they jump, and they don't worry about what anyone else thinks. We're in the midst of March Madness now, and teams are winning their conference championships. And I have not seen a team that won a championship yet who was looking around to see what other people thought about their celebration. They just started celebrating. Don't become so sophisticated that you don't know how to celebrate. Don't become so polished that you lose your passion to give God praise. Psalm 34, verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Psalm 150, verse 6. Let's read it together. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Here's the last thing, and then I'm going to let you go. Number 4, you must respond to the bitterness of others in a way that glorifies the Lord. You must respond to the bitterness of others. It's right here in the text, and then I'm going to let you go. Verse 18 says, when he had finished, David blessed the people in the name of the Lord Almighty. He gave a gift of food to every man and woman in Israel, a loaf of bread, a cake of dates, and a cake of raisins. Then everyone went home. David, verse 20, returned home to bless his family. Michael came out to meet him and said in disgust. So before he could get to the house, before she could get the blessing that was on the way to the house, she comes out to chastise him in the street. Let me just say figuratively for anybody, don't be so angry that you rob yourself of on the way blessings. Man, this woman, if she had just stayed in the house, she might have been blessed beyond. But no, she was acting in her emotions. She jumps out. She meets him. She says to him, look at verse 20, how glorious the king of Israel looked today. He exposed himself to the servant girls. Watch what David says. David says, I was dancing before the Lord, not you. You think more highly of yourself than you should. I wasn't dancing for your approval. I was dancing before the Lord who chose me above your family, your father and his family. He appointed me as the leader of Israel, the people of the Lord. So I am willing to act like a fool in order to show my joy in the Lord. Now look at verse 22, because this is when it gets real good. Yes, I am willing to look even more foolish than this. But I will be held in honor by the girls of whom you have spoken. Here's what David basically says. You using these girls as your mouthpiece when it's really you. It's not them that has the problem. You have the problem. And if you thought I gave God some praise before, you ain't seen nothing yet. I know that's bad grammar, but that's good preaching. You ain't seen nothing yet. Hold my mule. You think I gave God some praise? You think I gave God some honor? You were offended by what? It's almost like David says, girl, I was holding back. What? David says, I'm not even going to respond to you in your negativity. Let me show you, because I can show you better than I can tell you, how good God has been to me. I'm trying to get somebody to see in here today. David recognizes, because he was chosen by God, because he was anointed by God, because he was appointed by God, David says, if you think what I have done has been offensive. He says, I'm getting ready to give God some glory, sure enough. I'm getting ready to act a fool up in here. What? And somebody today, listen to me carefully. Before you react to somebody's negativity, think about how good God has been in your life. Think about how far God has brought you. Think about how God has kept you through dangers seen and unseen. Think about how God has reminded you over and over again that he has not brought you this far to leave you. Remember what God has done. Realize what God is doing. Be confident in what you want God to do. And thank God all along the way. David understood something some of us are still learning. If you let bitter people control your praise, they will eventually steal your joy. Let me say it again for somebody. Somebody tweet it for me. If you let bitter people control your praise, they will eventually steal your joy. And can I tell you something? Nobody can steal your joy without your permission and your participation. Don't sit there talking about, oh, you just such a downer. You just kill my spirit. They can't kill your spirit without your permission. They can't drive you crazy unless you give them the keys. They can't push your button unless you give them access to your button. And sometimes the greatest blessing you can give yourself, listen to Pastor, is to block some numbers. I wish I had time. There's a blessing in the blocking. There's a blessing in the blocking, y'all. Just because they called don't mean you got to answer. Just because you got that number doesn't mean they should have access to your number. There's a blessing in the blocking. See, you don't decide. You don't get to decide how I praise God. You don't get to decide how I give God glory. Just like I should not get to decide how you give God glory. Because that's a personal experience all by yourself. You cannot control who gets bitter about your blessings, but you can control the fact that you're too blessed to be bitter. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. And thank you for your word. I pray now that everything that has been said and everything that has been done has been pleasing in your sight. God, I pray that somebody would leave here today recognizing that they've given somebody too much power, too much control, too much access. And they're not obligated to give bitter people repeated opportunities to rob them of their joy. I pray, God, that we would remember where you have brought us from, what you're doing right now, what you will do. And that we should respond to others, not out of their bitterness, but out of our blessings. To always remind ourselves of how good you have been, how good you are, and how good you will be. Because it's no secret what you can do. What you've done for others, you can do the same thing for us. And so we bless you and we thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Those of you can and will, please stand on your feet. A convicting message. A message that reminds us afresh of the goodness of God. That we don't have to walk around with wind in our jaws and looking at people this way and that way. Because if we remember what God has done for us, we tell ourselves he's been too good to me to look at you the wrong way. And somebody here today needs to experience that freedom. And so today we give you an opportunity to come just as you are because God has blessed you. You've seen blessings in other people and you know the beauty of God's blessings and you've been running from it. Today you got an opportunity not to run anymore. You can come and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. You have a chance today to do that. Don't let this opportunity escape you. We've been reminded that God has been good to us. Even when people are trying to be mean to us, God is still good. And maybe in your life you've been dealing with some bitterness and you've been dealing with some issues that you've been trying to get through, and God is telling you today that you need to come to a saving faith to help you to get over whatever it is. That bitterness is holding you back. That bitterness is keeping you from allowing yourself to sacrifice and give up all of that and turn your life over to God. So today we give you an opportunity right now to come just as you are. Come now. Don't let the day pass by. Come and give God all of the bitterness. Give God all of those issues right now. And he's a God that will take you in. And I know that he will take care of you. So come now. You have an opportunity as Minister Taylor sings.
Praise is what I do when I want to be close to you. I lift my hands in praise. Praise is who I am. I'll praise while I can. I'll bless him at all times. And I vow to praise you in the good and the bad. I'll praise you whether happy or sad. I'll praise you in all that I go through, because praise is what I do. 'Cause I owe it all to you.
Yes, we owe it all to him, because what he did for us on a hill called Calvary. Yes, he deserves the praise right now. He deserves our praise right now. Somebody today needs to hear that praise and give it to God. There are ways that you can do that. We have a QR code on the screen. You can go there and let us know that you want to accept Christ. Or if you have your outline, you can use the code there. We want to make sure that you get a chance to come just today. Don't let the day go by. Today is the day that the Lord has brought you into the house of prayer to hear his word and give you a chance to come just as you are. So take that time right now. Maybe you know somebody that needs it, and you can be praying for them right now. You can be praising God for an opportunity for them. But today is the day. Tomorrow is not promised. They're having funerals tomorrow because it wasn't promised for somebody. So don't take the day for granted. God has you here for a reason. And we want to make sure that you take advantage of it today. And just praise God for all that he does. Sing that again for us, Mr. Taylor.
And I vow to praise you in the good and the bad. I'll praise you whether happy or sad. I'll praise you in all that I go
. Someone today needed to hear from you, Lord, and we pray right now that you soften their hearts. Release them, Lord, for any bitterness that they may have. And remind us afresh, you've been too good to us to walk around with bitterness. You've been too good to us to walk around upset about something that you've already taken care of. So, Lord, we come right now to just thank you for your goodness. And then, Lord, we pray right now for someone here today that is still not willing to give up and give all that they have to you. Lord, we lift them up to you right now. And we ask that you touch their hearts, Lord, and move on their spirit and show them the way to live for you, Lord, and to accept your Son, Jesus Christ, as their Savior. Touch their hearts right now, Lord, and show them the way. Let your word speak to them in a very powerful way. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 You may be seated. Let's thank God for our pastor and that wonderful and powerful message this morning. That's one of those messages you can take home and chew on it a little bit more.